played.
Hello?
You are recording.
Hello?
I think you're good to go.
Okay, I'll put it on hold. We're here, right here.
No, no. You, if the rest...
Stop.
I'll tell you what, if it's going, go.
Okay.
Because we've got no...
Okay. I've been told that it's going, so we have to go. Good morning. How is everybody today? Excellent, excellent. I woke up to a surprise this morning. I went to get in my car to come here, and I found out that my car was broke into. But all they did was toss the glove and the armrest. You know, they had some change in the cup. They took that. They may have taken a couple of CDs, but at least they didn't break the windows or anything to get in or anything. And so I just thank God that I've still got a vehicle that still moves. It ain't pretty, but it gets me where I got to go, and that's all that matters, you know. This week I was mainly at Brother Rick Jordan's church, not church, but at the conference there, so I was built up and edified there. I would encourage you to consider that next year. It's a pretty good conference. You know, it's the same kind of a conference like at Cedar Lake. It's just...
Rolling Meadows.
Yeah, it's in Rolling Meadows. So, but I had a good time up there. A lot of good singing, music, praising the Lord, and a lot of good Bible study. You know, Bible study that's dispensational and rightly divided. And today, let's take a word of prayer for a moment, and then we'll start. Father God, thank you for the saints that are here this morning, Lord, that desire to come and study the Word of God before the morning service. I thank you for each and every one of them, Lord. I pray, Lord, that the material that I've studied in your Word, I can share with them and that they would be blessed by it and they could incorporate that into their own personal Bible study and apply it to their lives, Lord. I pray, Lord, that everything is done for your glory and none of it is done for mine. I thank you now for everything in Christ's precious name. Amen. Okay. What's interesting that I've been noticing lately is that everywhere I go to different churches, people, they all know who the Apostle Paul is, okay? And what I'm observing is that a lot of them think that the Apostle Paul was one of the 12 apostles. I guarantee you that is prevalent out there in Christianity. Or if they don't think he was one of the 12, okay, that he was supposed to have been one of the 12, but a mistake was made. Brother, I don't know if I've got this thing on right or not. If you want to look real quick, I know you're the main mic guy. Is everything going the way it's supposed to be going?
Perfect.
Perfect. Until that which is perfect shall come, right? The Lord says, good to have you here. Okay. So anyway, as I was saying, either some people think the Apostle Paul was one of the 12 or that he wasn't, but he was supposed to have been. I guarantee you that they think that the apostles made a mistake when they chose Matthias. Okay? That's people think that. And you know what else is very prevalent? They believe that since there's only one gospel according to the way they believe things, that the message is all the same, that the 12 apostles and this 13th guy that was born out of due time, which we know, they think everybody's preaching the same thing, they're giving out the same message, and I can't tell you, brothers and sisters, nothing could be more wrong than that statement. In churches today, they say nothing new is being proclaimed, and that the Apostle Paul is neutralized. These are observations that I personally make. There is no recognition as to who the New Testament spokesman is. You know, it's amazing when you say, who was the Old Testament spokesman? Who spoke for God in the Old Testament? Almost everybody universally will say Moses. Am I right? Everybody's going to say Moses. How is it that the man who wrote 13 epistles and the main epistles of the New Testament, nobody recognized? They say, well, he's just one of the guys and everything else. You know what I believe where the confusion comes from? Not only are they not rightly dividing, what they do is, when Paul says something, they are taking the stuff that Paul wrote, and they read it back into the Gospels, or they read it forward into some of the other things, when, you know, or as Hebrews, as in James, for example, okay? You know, who were the books written to? They start out telling you who they're written to. To the 12 tribes scared abroad. Oh, well, that just means the Jewish Christians. Does it? Okay. What we're going to talk about today is they did not all proclaim the same thing. So I want to talk to you today about who is Paul. Even though we're a grace church, I think sometimes you always need to go back to the roots and reinforce some of the things that hopefully most of us already know. Now, if you would, turn to Romans chapter 11. We'll start there. Romans 11 in one hand and Romans 15 in the other hand. Romans 11, and then a few pages over is Romans 15. Okay? And if you're in Romans 11, we're going to start here. Israel in Romans 9, 10, and 11 have been set aside. God is calling everybody in unbelief here and Israel. And if you look at verse 13, we have our apostle that says this: "For I speak to you Gentiles, inasmuch as I am the apostle of the Gentiles, I magnify my office." Now look at what he's saying there. He's not only saying that he is the apostle of the Gentiles, he's proclaiming the office that has been given to him by the Lord. Okay? And if verse 14, "If by any means I may provoke to emulation them which are my flesh, and might save some of them, for if the casting away of them be the reconciling of the world, what shall be the receiving of them be but life from the dead?" Now, let's scoot over to Romans 15 here, and let's look at verse 16. "That I should be the minister of Jesus Christ to the Gentiles, ministering the gospel of God, that the offering up of the Gentiles might be acceptable and being sanctioned by the Holy Ghost." Now, when he says in Romans 11:13, "I am the apostle of the Gentiles," we need to understand that everybody is concluded in unbelief. There is no difference now between the Jew and the Gentile, okay? So everybody now is coming to God or gets saved on the basis of the shed blood of Jesus Christ on the cross for our salvation. So all of us, there's no difference between us, okay? The middle wall of partition has been broken down, it tells us in Ephesians chapter 2. So, I'm going to start with here is, I want you to turn over to Acts chapter 7. I want to set the stage here so that we can understand, who was the Apostle Paul? Why was the Apostle Paul saved? Why was he born out of due time? Why did we need the Apostle Paul? Seriously, we've already got 12 apostles, okay? Now, what's interesting is we know that in the millennium, there's going to be 12 thrones, okay? And they're going to be sitting on those thrones judging the 12 tribes of Israel, okay? And but where's Paul going to be? What's up with him? Do you want to know something? It doesn't mention what Paul's going to be doing as the Apostle of Gentiles. You know what else it doesn't mention? What we're going to be doing. Because where are we going to be? In heavenly places, right? So, there's an earthly program and a heavenly program. So, in chapter 7, there's a man named Stephen. Okay? This man, I believe, was one of the men that was chosen as one of the deacons that the apostles chose to go out and minister to the people while they were fasting and prayer and getting ready to do the preaching and studying the doctrine in order to teach the other people. And in Romans 7 here, not Romans, what am I saying? I'm in Romans. It's supposed to be in Acts chapter 7. I'm sorry. Hang on, I'm coming. I don't know how I got back over there. Okay. Because I'm looking at the verses and something's wrong here. Okay. What's going on here is that Stephen has been brought before the Jewish leaders. And he's basically, they want to find out what is going on. He's basically on trial is what's going on here, okay? And he's accusing them about a whole bunch of stuff here. And what I want to do is, let's start in verse 51. He's talking to the Pharisees. We're setting the stage as to why we have the Apostle Paul. Who is the Apostle Paul? Why was he called? For what purpose? We're setting the stage. So here we are in verse 51. Stephen's talking to the Jewish leaders. Ye stiff-necked and uncircumscribed in hearts and ears, ye do always resist the Holy Ghost as your fathers did. Now, something with that verse, something everybody needs to understand. In the Old Testament, okay, God the Father was rejected, okay, and Moses was rejected, okay. God the Father was rejected by Israel in the Old Testament. In the Gospels, okay, you've got Jesus Christ, the Son of God, being rejected in the Gospels. And right here, as you look in Acts, you can see they are now rejecting the Holy Spirit. Okay? So it's like three strikes, you're out kind of a thing. God the Father, the Old Testament, God the Son in the Gospels, and you've now got the Holy Spirit. It says it right there. You do resist the Holy Spirit as your fathers also did. Look at verse 54. When they heard these things, they were cut to the heart, and they gnashed on him with their teeth. You think that they're upset a little bit? Seriously, that scares me. Gnashing on them with their teeth. I mean, they are not happy campers right now. And he said, and this is Stephen now, being full of the Holy Ghost, Stephen looks up steadfastly into heaven. And what does he see? He sees the glory of God, and he sees Jesus standing on the right hand of God. Now, I'm not going to go into a whole study of why he's standing. Just understand something. Normally, when it talks about God standing, he's talking about the imminency of judgment. He's getting ready to judge the nation of Israel. So you see Jesus standing. The Lord is not standing to he's not standing to just receive Stephen, okay, as the first martyr after Christ's death. What he's doing is he has open arms waiting for him, but he's standing and he's risen up to rise in judgment. Now, verse 56, and behold, he says, I see the heavens opened, and the Son of Man standing on the right hand of God. And the men, the Pharisees that were wailing and gnashing of teeth, they cried out with a loud voice and stopped their ears, and they ran upon him. That means they went and grabbed him and they attacked him. And notice what it says, with one accord. That means they were all with one mind. They all had one purpose. They want to get rid of this man, Stephen, who's looking up, he's filled with the Holy Ghost, and he's testifying about the Lord Jesus. And they cast him out of the city, verse 58, and they stoned him. And the witnesses laid down their clothes at a young man's feet, whose name was Saul. This is Paul before he's the apostle. He's not saved yet, okay? And they stoned Stephen, verse 59, calling upon God and saying, Lord Jesus, receive my spirit. And he kneeled down and he cried with a loud voice, Lord, lay not this sin to their charge. And when he had said this, he fell asleep. You know what's interesting? Remember when Jesus was hanging on the cross? Lord, forgive them. They know not what they do. I found that an interesting parallel. And then you start in verse 8 and verse 1. Okay, so we've got Stephen being stoned. And you've now got strike three. God is ready to judge Israel. They've now resisted the Holy Spirit. And Saul, this is the man whose clothes were laid down there, was consenting unto Stephen's death. And at that time, there was a great persecution against the church, which was at Jerusalem, and they were all scattered abroad throughout the regions of Judea and Samaria. Okay, so you've got persecution going on, and Paul is the head of it. Look at verse 9 and verse 1. And Saul, yet breathing out threatenings and slaughter against the disciples of the Lord, went unto the high priest. And he desired of him letters to Damascus and the synagogues, that if he found any of this way, whether they were men or women, he might bring them bound unto Jerusalem. And we're going to stop there. We'll get to the rest of that in a minute. So here, we've now got Israel. They've now rejected God in the Old Testament. They rejected God in the Gospels. They've now rejected the Holy Spirit right here in Acts chapter 7. In Acts chapter 8, persecution by a man who is zealous, we find out in Corinthians. Okay? Now, okay, so where are we at with this? We've now got, in Acts chapter 1, we've got 11 apostles. Let's go to Acts chapter 1. Slide backwards to Acts chapter 1. Now, this is interesting. Remember what I told you when we first started? There's people that think the apostle Paul was supposed to be one of the 12 apostles. They made a mistake when they chose Matthias. Well, let's see if this is... Or Paul was not even supposed to be an apostle, because they had 12 apostles. So let's see what we have here. Judas is already dead. Okay? Now, we're going to start in verse 21 of Acts chapter 1. Now, this is Peter talking. And he says, "Wherefore of these men which had accompanied us with all the time that the Lord Jesus went in and out among us, beginning from the baptism of John, unto that same day that he was taken up from us, must one be ordained to be a witness with us of his resurrection. And they appointed two, Joseph called Barsabbas, who was surnamed Justus, and Matthias. And they prayed and they said, Thou Lord, which knowest the hearts of all men, show whether of these two you have chosen, that he may take part of this ministry and apostleship, which Judas by transgression fell, that he might go to his own place. And they gave forth their lots, and the lots fell upon Matthias, and he was numbered with the 11 apostles, which now makes 12. So, you've got the apostles, they've been praying and fasting and seeking the Lord's guidance and wisdom as to who should fulfill the 12th apostle spot now, because they're down to 11. Now, I'm going to submit to you, as we look in verse 21, Paul, number one, could not have qualified to be one of the 12 apostles. Why is that? The first thing I'm going to say to you is, first of all, Paul was not yet saved. He did not get saved until on the road to Damascus in Acts chapter 9. So how could you have an unsaved guy? Yeah, well, I guess you had Judas. But Christ still chose him, and he chose him for, you know, the reasons that he chose him. But Paul was not saved, okay? Paul was going to be the due time testifier, 1 Corinthians 15:8 says. Keep your hands here in Acts 2. And let's run over to 1 Corinthians 15 real quick. 1 Corinthians 15.
I have a question.
Yes, sir.
Absolutely. What is your take on the expression, they set forth their lots?
Well, I'm going to go to that in a second, okay? And no, they weren't gambling. Okay. Verse 15, verse 8. This is where the gospel is, if you know in 1 Corinthians 15. But verse 8 says, "And last of all, he was seen of me also, as one born out of due time." See, the Apostle Paul was saved, and his ministry was already in the mind of God as to when God was going to call him. And as the Apostle Paul recognized this as he spent time with the Lord and as the Lord progressively revealed things to him. So the Apostle says, I was born out of due time. Paul is the due time. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 8. So the Apostle Paul is born out of due time. Now let's go back to Acts 1. Now let me ask you this. Were the 12 apostles out of the will of the Lord when they were trying to choose... Perry, can I use your watch again, buddy? So I got a watch, because there's no clock in here. Otherwise, I'm going to lose my time. Thank you. may have to move here. Okay. Three other reasons. First, he wasn't saved. Here's the next reason. Notice what it says in verse 21. You would have had to have accompanied with us all the time. So what we're saying is, if you were one of the 12 apostles, or be willing to have possibly become one, you had to have been with the apostles at the beginning. Look what it says in verse 22. You had to have been there from the beginning, from the baptism of John. Okay? And as you slide down to verse, one must be ordained to be a witness with us of his resurrection. So Paul was not there in the beginning. He was not there since he did not accompany the apostles at all times. He wasn't there from the beginning of John's baptism. And he was not a witness with the other apostles of Jesus' resurrection. So there are your four reasons. I gave you four reasons, okay, why he could not have been there. In Luke 1:2 and John 15:27, if you want to write those down, those talk about being there from the beginning, and you had to have been there. Let's look at, slide over to John 15:27. You want to see that? Because that's an important verse. Right? 15:27, yes. Please tell me that's the right verse. Oh. Yeah, okay. I'm looking at 14. Okay, look what it says in 15:27. We'll start in 26. But when the Comforter has come, whom I will send unto you from the Father, even the Spirit of truth, which proceedeth from the Father, he shall testify of me. Now look at 27. And ye also shall bear witness, because you have been with me from the beginning. You notice Paul doesn't qualify. Paul does not qualify for that. Okay. So, I've given you the reasons why he cannot qualify to be one of the apostles. Now, the gentleman here asked me, notice they were praying. Okay? And it says, the Lord knows the hearts of all men, and show us whether these two, which one of these we should choose. Lots. My take on the lots is, now, I don't think they were dice. They may have been like little pieces of sticks, if I recall, you know, different lengths or something. I don't recall. Or maybe they just all had sticks and they were colored. I don't know. They colored by a different, you know, red, blue, green, whatever. They threw them, whichever color came up, or how many of the long ones compared to the short ones. They said, well, the short ones will be Matthias, the long ones will be Barsabas or whatever. But men were involved in choosing Matthias, okay? But men were not involved in choosing Paul. And we're going to see if that's true, okay? Let's keep your hand in the book of Acts. Go to, keep your hand in Acts chapter 9. And on your way, let's run over to Galatians chapter 1, okay? We're going to look at a few verses today because I really think that we need to do this, because we need to be able to talk to people when they start talking about who your apostle is, or he was just one of the guys and stuff. It's not true. It's not true. Okay, we're looking at Galatians 1. Now, God superintended whatever happened with those casting of the lots, okay? But there were still men involved. But look what Paul says in chapter 1. Paul, an apostle, not of men, neither by man, but by Jesus Christ and God the Father, who raised him from the dead. Did you notice what it said there? Paul's an apostle, not of men, neither of man, but by Jesus Christ. Okay? And then scoot over to verse 11. But he says here, but I certify you, brethren, that the gospel which is preached of me is not after man. Okay, for I neither received it of man, neither was I taught it of man, but by revelation of Jesus Christ. So Paul's apostleship and the ministry and the gospel and the body of truth that he was given was not after men. And we're going to check that out in 1 second here. But go back to Acts 9. Okay? So, how did Paul get saved? Why was he saved? We're going to get to why he was saved in a minute. It says, Paul was breathing out slaughterings in verse 1. And in verse 3 it says, as he journeyed, he came near Damascus, and suddenly there shined around him a light from heaven. And he fell to the earth, and he heard a voice saying, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? And Paul said, Who art thou, Lord? And the Lord said, I am Jesus, whom thou persecutest. It's hard for thee to kick against the pricks. Now, in the book of Acts, there's three spots where it talks about the Apostle Paul getting saved. He recounts it twice, okay? He does it in Acts chapter 9. He does it in Acts chapter 22. And then he also does it in Acts 26, okay? And it says in verse 6, And Paul, trembling and astonished, said, Lord, what will thou have me to do? And the Lord said unto him, Arise, go into the city, and it shall be told unto thee what you must do. Now, look at verse... let's see, where are we going to go here? Verse 13. Now, the Lord is talking to Ananias in a vision. And Ananias answered, Lord, I have heard by many of this man. It's talking about the Apostle Paul. How much evil he has done to thy saints at Jerusalem. And here he hath authority from the chief priests to bind and all that call upon the name of the Lord. But the Lord said unto him in verse 15, Go thy way, for he is a chosen vessel unto me to bear my name before the children, before the Gentiles, the kings, and the children of Israel. Notice the way that's laid out. First the Gentiles, then to all the principalities and powers on the earth, kings, and then to the children of Israel. Okay? Now, look over at... So here we've got the Apostle Paul gets saved. Ananias is already saying, You can't be kidding, Lord. This guy is... He's an enemy of you. But the Lord says he's a chosen vessel. Now look over to verse 26 in Acts 9. And when Saul was come to Jerusalem... He is saved, in other words, he's trying to join himself to the disciples. But they're all afraid of him. And they believe not that he was a disciple. They knew who the Apostle Paul was. They knew he was trying to destroy all the disciples and all the believers in the Lord Jesus Christ. But look what it says in verse 27. But Barnabas took him and brought him to the apostles. And he declared unto him how he had seen the Lord in the way, and that he had spoken to him, and how he had preached boldly at Damascus in the name of Jesus. And he was with them coming in and going out in Jerusalem, and he spoke boldly in the name of the Lord Jesus. And then look at 31. Then had the churches rest throughout all Judea and Galilee and Samaria. And they were edified and walking in fear of the Lord, and the comfort of the Holy Ghost were multiplied. They saw that Paul was one of them. In other words, it's being confirmed. Paul got saved, and now you're seeing confirmation of his apostleship, that he's one of them. First you had Ananias, now you've got Barnabas confirming it. Now let's scoot over to Acts 22. Acts 22. We're laying out, how do we know that Paul's an apostle? You're seeing it be confirmed, okay? It's being confirmed. Acts 22, in verse 12. This is Paul talking now, again. And one Ananias, verse 22, chapter 22, verse 12, a devout man according to the law, having a good report of all the Jews, dwelt there. And he came unto me, and he stood unto me, brother Saul, receive your sight. And at the same hour, Paul looked upon him. And he said, The God of our fathers has chosen thee. Now look what it's saying here. This is Ananias talking. He's talking to Paul. He's confirming that Paul has now been saved and that God has called him. He says, He has chosen thee, and thou should knowest his will, and see that just one, and you should hear the voice of his mouth. In verse 15, For thou shalt be his witness unto all men of what thou hast seen and heard. So why tarriest? Arise, be baptized, wash away your sins, call upon the name of the Lord. So Ananias has confirmed for the second time, first time with the Lord, this time with Paul, that he has been called. Okay, now go back over to Galatians. You should have that still in your hand. Galatians 1:22. We'll start in 21. Afterwards, I came unto the regions of Syria and Cilicia. And I was unknown by face unto the churches of Judea, which were in Christ. But they had heard only that he which persecuted us in times past now preached the faith which he once destroyed. And they glorified God in me. Okay, so we're seeing now that his apostleship, and that he's a Christian, that he's now preaching the Lord whom he was once persecuting. It's been being confirmed by many people that Paul now is there. He's been called upon, and people have recognized this. Let's see if the apostles recognize this. Chapter 2 of Galatians. We're going to start... Well, let's go over to Galatians 2, and let's go right... Well, let's just read through. Let's start in verse 1. After 14 years, I went up to Jerusalem. I took Barnabas and Titus with me. Now, notice he went up to Jerusalem how? By revelation. And he communicated that gospel which I preached unto the Gentiles. What gospel was that he preached? Repent and be baptized for the remission of sin. Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Brothers and sisters, that's what was preached by John. Preached the baptism of repentance. The Lord preached, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. It was all tied together. But we're going to see that that's not what Paul preached. Look in verse 5. In verse 4 it says there's false brethren coming in unawares who came in to start trouble. It's basically what verse 4 is telling us. Verse 5, but Paul and all the people that he brought with him, we gave place to them, not for one minute. Not subjection, not anything. We did not give any subjection, not for an hour, so that the truth of the gospel might continue. Now in verse 6, he's going to be talking about the apostles here. But of those who seem to be somewhat, whatsoever were, it makes no matter to me, God accepts no man's person. For they who seem to be somewhat in conference added nothing to me. But contrarywise, when they saw that the gospel of the uncircumcision was committed unto me, as the gospel of the circumcision was unto Peter, for he that wrought effectually in Peter to the apostleship of the circumcision, the same was mighty, me towards the Gentiles. And here we go. And when James and Cephas and John, who seem to be pillars, perceived the grace given unto me. What are they talking about? They're confirming that Paul is now called an apostle, and he's called for a reason. And look what it says there. They gave to me and Barnabas the right hands of fellowship, that we should go unto the heathen, and they unto the circumcision. Do you realize what's just happened here in verse 9? The Great Commission has gone out of commission. Okay? Seriously, I mean, it's a bizarre statement to make, but there it is. Because they gave the right hand of fellowship. Well, wait a minute. Weren't they told to go out into all the uttermost parts of the world in Matthew 28? You know, that's supposed to be the Great Commission. Here, they are giving the right hands of fellowship, and they're saying, well, Paul, you can go. Well, wait a minute. Was that what God told them to do? No. But Paul, after talking to them, saying, look, the Lord wants me to go to the Gentiles. You can go to the circumcision, okay? So it's now Paul that's going to be carrying the gospel of the grace of God out into the uttermost. So Paul gets saved in due time. He's given a special apostleship, a new gospel, and he's got a body of truth, and it's hidden wisdom that has been hid in God, but has now been made manifest, Ephesians chapter 3 is going to tell us, okay? The Holy Spirit sends out Paul and Barnabas in Acts chapter 13. And they're sent out because the Holy Spirit sends them. He calls them and is sending them, and it's not the church that's calling them. It's the Holy Spirit, okay? Let's go to Ephesians chapter 3 here for a minute. So, we've got the Apostle Paul. I'm having to go fast here because we kind of lost some time before we started here. Let's start in verse 1. For this cause, I, Paul, the prisoner of Jesus Christ for you Gentiles, if you have heard of the dispensation of the grace of God, which is given to me to you. What do they mean by the dispensation of the grace of God? There was a stewardship. There was a body of truth that he learned in Arabia. You know, for 3 years, the Apostle Paul did it. After he got saved on the Damascus Road, he went into the desert and he went to seminary. And you know who his teacher was? The Lord Jesus Christ. What a blessing! Could you imagine that? You're sitting there, and I don't know if Christ literally appeared to him in physical form or something, and they sat down, he took notes, or he just implanted it in the Apostle Paul's mind. I don't know, but that's what he said happened. And he didn't learn everything all at once. It was revealed progressively. But he went to seminary. Now think about something. When he went to seminary with the Lord Jesus in Arabia, did he have to unlearn some stuff? I think he did. And he had to learn some new stuff. And he had to learn why. He had to unlearn some stuff so that he could make other people see what is the fellowship of the mystery. So, okay. So, in verse 2. If you have heard of dispensation of the grace of God, which is given to me, you word, how that by revelation, there we are, he made known unto the mystery, as I wrote to you in a few words, whereby when you read, you may understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ. How did he get my knowledge? By the Lord Jesus Christ revealing it to him. But look what it says in verse 5. Which is in other ages was not made known unto the sons of men, as it is now revealed unto his holy apostles and prophets by the Spirit. When Peter is preaching in Acts 2:38, repent and be baptized for remission of sins. Brothers and sisters, he's preaching Mark. Chapter 1, verse 4. The baptism of repentance. Everything is still focused on that baptism. The gospel is, repent for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. You needed that water baptism because that is what you were doing to... You know what? Let's look at... let's see, Acts chapter 7. Keep your hand here. Scoot over to Acts chapter 7 real quick. Wait. Do I want Acts 7? Is that what I want? Let me make sure I'm sending you to the right spot. I don't want to get yelled at. No, Luke 7. I'm sorry. Luke 7. Go to Luke 7 for a second. See, I almost got yelled at. Rick would have rebuked me out in the hallway. All right. Luke 7. You got the Pharisees coming out. John's baptizing in the River Jordan here. Okay? Look what it says. Verse 28. For I say unto you, this is John talking, the Baptist, among those that are born of woman, there is not a greater prophet than John the Baptist, but he that is least in the kingdom of God is greater than he. And all the people that heard him, no, that's Jesus talking, I'm sorry. And all the people that heard him and all the publicans justified God. How do they justify God? Look what it says. Being baptized with the baptism of John. Remember, that was Jesus talking. I'm sorry, I made a mistake. That wasn't John talking. So, but look what it says in verse 30. But the Pharisees and lawyers rejected the counsel of God. Now, how did they reject the counsel of God? Against themselves. They did not get baptized of him. So, if you didn't identify with the baptism of John, you were rejecting the Lord Jesus Christ and you were rejecting the counsel of God. Okay? So, let's go back to Ephesians chapter 3. Verse 6. We're talking about what was not made known, but now is revealed. What is being revealed? That the Gentiles should be fellow heirs of the same body and partakers of the promise that's in Christ by the gospel. And the gospel that we're talking about is believing in the shed blood of Jesus Christ on the cross to pay the penalty for our sins. And that by trusting in His shed blood and allowing Him to pay the penalty for our sins, we get saved, okay? Verse 8, and unto me, who am less than the least of all saints, is this grace given, that I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ, and to make all men see what is the fellowship of the mystery, which from the beginning of the world has been hidden God, who created all things by Christ. So, what we've got going on here in Acts chapter 2, or in Galatians chapter 2, I was referring to, is that you now have a new gospel. The gospel has been looked at, and it's been confirmed by the other apostles. Acts chapter 15 is a confirmation of Galatians chapter 2. We've now seen what it is Paul was trying to proclaim in Ephesians 3 verse 1. So why did Paul get saved? God is doing something different. Okay? And we say then, okay, the Apostle Paul is now our apostle. We've established that, okay? So let's go to Acts chapter 26. What is it that Paul was supposed to have been doing here? And this is important. Why did God save Paul? Why was he born out of due time? Why? It's right here. I love Acts chapter 26. It's a great. Okay. Let's look at verse 16. This is Paul. He's recanting his story as to why he got saved again. And he says, "Who art thou, Lord?" And Jesus said unto him, "I am Jesus, who thou persecutest." Now look, here's why Paul got saved. "But rise and stand upon thy feet, for I've appeared unto thee for a purpose." What's the purpose? To make thee a minister and a witness both of these things which thou hast seen, and of those things in which I will appear unto thee. That's going to be your progressive revelation that he's going to appear to Paul. Now look what he says. "I'm going to deliver thee from the people and from the Gentiles unto whom I now send thee." So Paul's being sent unto the Gentiles. Why couldn't the 12 go? Because Jesus has chosen Paul to bring a new message and to bring salvation and proclaim it unto the Gentiles. So look what it says in verse 18. "To open the eyes of who? The Gentiles. And to turn them from darkness to light and from the power of Satan unto God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins and an inheritance among them which are sanctified by faith that is in me. Whereby, O King Agrippa, I was not disobedient unto the heavenly vision. But I showed first unto them of Damascus and of Jerusalem and throughout all the coasts of Judea, and then to the Gentiles." And what was he telling the Gentiles? That they should repent, turn to God, and do works meet from repentance. So to open their eyes, turn from darkness to light, turn from the power of Satan, so that they may receive forgiveness of sins. He sent unto the Gentiles, and I'm not going to go back. If you looked in Acts chapter 9, Acts 22, and Acts chapter 26, those will give you all the reasons as to why Paul was saved out of due time. Repent, turn to God, faith towards our Lord Jesus Christ, and Paul says he was in Acts chapter 20-24, testify to the gospel of the grace of God. Now, quickly, turn to Romans chapter 1. So, is Paul preaching the same thing? No, we already went through that. But the gospel that Paul is preaching, okay? Look at Romans 1, verse 15. So Paul says, "As much as it in me is, I am ready to preach the gospel to you that are at Rome also. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation, everyone that believes." You know what? I want to know what the gospel is, the good news that will save my soul from eternal hell. Why do we need to know that? Look at Romans 2. Look what it says in verse 16. "In the day when God shall judge the secrets of men by Jesus Christ according to my gospel." So we're told that we're going to be judged by Paul's gospel, okay? Turn to Romans 16 quickly. Romans 16. So we're told that we're going to be judged by the good news, the gospel that Paul is preaching. But look in verse 25. "Now to him that is of power to establish you according to my gospel and the preaching of Jesus Christ according to the revelation of the mystery which has been kept secret since the world began." Notice what it says. Now to him that has a power to establish you. So you're going to be judged and you're going to be established according to that gospel, okay? Now, Paul's gospel is what we need to believe in and trust in. But you notice in 1 Corinthians 11:1. Go to 1 Corinthians 11. I think we were there before. But look what it says. No, we weren't there before. It says, "Be ye followers of me, as I also am of Christ." Here's what we're accused of. We're accused of following Paul. This is an important verse. And if somebody ever says this to you, you need to be able to explain to them why we look at Paul. In the Old Testament, it was okay to proclaim Moses because he proclaimed what the Lord said, okay? It says, "Be followers of me." But why are you to be followers of Paul? As I also am of Christ. In 1 Timothy 1:15, it says that Paul is the pattern, okay? He is going to be the one that the Lord Jesus Christ sets down as the first one to be saved the way we're saved into the body of Christ. So when he says, "Be followers of me as I also am of Christ," brothers and sisters, we're not following Paul because we esteem him more than our Savior. He says in 1 Corinthians 4:16, "I beseech you, be ye followers of me." In Philippians 3:17, he says, "Follow Paul and his co-workers," because we have them for an example how to follow Paul as he follows Christ. That's what it's all about. He is our pattern. In 2 Timothy 2:2, he says, "Teaching faithful men as look at what you see in us and teach faithful men so you are able to teach other faithful men." The bottom line is, whatever Paul was teaching, that is what the Lord told him to teach us. And so we are to teach, proclaim, and rest in that. So my point to you here today is that Paul, we're supposed to follow as he follows Christ. Paul is our pattern, okay? Look at 1 Corinthians 14 real quick. And we're going to close here in a second. A lot of people say it's Paul, Paul, Paul with you all the time. Well, look what it says here in verse 37. First Corinthians 14:37. "If any man think himself to be a prophet or spiritual, let him acknowledge that the things I write unto you are the commandments of the Lord. If any man's going to be ignorant, let him be ignorant." So when Paul says, "Follow me as I follow Christ," brothers, don't be afraid to tell other people that. I am not following Paul because I esteem him. I'm following Paul because he's the pattern as how the Lord gave to him for us to follow Christ. Amen to that? And I just wanted to run some of these things past you this morning, because every time I'm in another church or I'm at the Baptist church and I listen to some of these things, they act as if Paul's just one of the guys and everything that he says is what the other apostles said and back into the Gospels. And that's just simply not true. It's just simply not true. So I hope some of this helped you a little bit today. I thank you for your time. Perry, close us in prayer, will you? Amen. What do I press on this thing? Stop.